Continuing until 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winter Folk 28, a celebration of music, community, and service on February 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Winter Folk, an annual benefit for Sisters of the Road, will feature singer-songwriter, author, and social activist David Roth, headlining along with performers Casey Neal, Sky in the Road, Dan Weber, and Kelly Bosworth. Again, that's Winter Folk 28 on February 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Stage and Studio, I'm Demi Roberts. We're listening to a song called Reach for the Stars by local composer Sydney Stevens from her CD titled Seasons. You can find her music at cdbaby.com. Today we're featuring two different shows opening in Portland. Breaking Rank at Well Arts, a production written by female service veterans in the U.S. Armed Forces. We'll talk with the director, the writer, one of the writers, and community organization who are all collaborating on this project. And in the final part of the show, we'll hear from Luann Moldovan, founder of Signet Productions, about The Setup, a tale of savagery and betrayal in the underbelly of the boxing world, told in verse and music. Lots happening in Portland, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me in the studio are Jessica Dart.
Hello.
You're the facilitator and director of Well Arts Production, Breaking Rank, and Belle Landau. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome. You're the director of Returning Veterans Project and writer, Patty J. Welcome.
Good morning.
You're all from Well Arts Production of Breaking Rank, and welcome all to Stage and Studio. It's great to have you here. So, Jessica, this project focuses on military women and veterans, and we don't often hear about women veterans. We do, but not as much as I think we should.
True.
You know? And it's clear from the description of this project there are unique situations and challenges for women in service. Would you talk a little bit about your experiences facilitating this project? And we'll move from there.
I've learned a tremendous amount from this process. I'm not a veteran myself. I have family members who served in, World War II, so I'm not directly connected with it. So learning directly from these women about their experiences in the military, after the military, how it's affected their lives, has been really informative for me. And the thing is, they have these common threads of experience of being in the military, facing discrimination. Some are survivors of military sexual trauma. Some have served in combat zones. Some have been not active duty. So there's those commonalities, but each of these women is an individual who has an individual story, and that's one of the most important things about this project.
What was the most surprising thing that you learned from this experience, especially directing?
Directing, the experience has been that, wow, there's a lot of protocol that if we had more time, and if this were a full-blown production, we would spend so much time just learning protocol with the actors to make sure that we're nailing everything, because we know that there will be veterans in the audience and we want to honor all of the things that they've had to do and make sure that our actors are representing that accurately. And just on an individual level, for me, learning little details like once you're a member of the military, you're technically property of the U.S. government, and a suicide attempt or something like that is considered considered an attempt to damage property. So things like that are just very surprising to me.
It is surprising to me, too, to hear you say this. What does the title Breaking Rank refer to?
Just the idea of a little bit of rebellion and women who have gone the extra step to step forward and say, you know what, I faced this issue in this male-dominated culture, and I'm not going to be quiet about it, and my story is relevant, and things need to change.
Wow, a lot to cover
there. A lot to cover.
How long was this project?
We did a writing workshop for 10 weeks with the 5 writers, and then I spent some time developing the writing into a script, and we've gone through about 3 drafts now, and then we've been in rehearsal since mid-January.
So a collaborating partner is also with us is Belle Landau. Hello,
hi.
Belle. And you're with the Returning Veterans Project.
Correct.
And that's a nonprofit made up of community-based independent health practitioners and all working with veterans.
They do. They agree to volunteer for us by opening at least one pro bono slot in their practice. And they include all kinds of mental health practitioners, as well as massage therapists, acupuncturists, chiropractors, and naturopaths.
And everybody's volunteers.
Everybody volunteers. So our services are totally free and confidential for post 9/11 war zone veterans and their families.
Well, I want to learn more about the organization itself. I mean, perhaps there's a misconception that veterans already get these kind of health services. Can you clarify that for us?
Yeah, less than 40% of all veterans use the VA for their health care services for a lot of different reasons. And there's also still some wait times, you know. We have a great partnership with the Portland VA Medical Center, and actually they refer more to us than any other organization.
Wow, so that's great. So you're working in concert
with
each other.
We do. Sometimes we see the same person, yeah.
Well, you know, I got some stats from the Women's Health page of the Veteran Affairs website.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how up-to-date it is, but it says 10% of U.S. vets are women.
It's higher than that.
It's higher than that. See,
yeah.
They need to update their site.
They
and the average age is 48 for women and 63 for men.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's all eras, so, you know.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of what's treated are hypertension. I mean, the top treatments are hypertension, depression, PTSD were the top 3 conditions that were treated.
Right, and chronic pain for these folks coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
And, you know, this was startling to me, and maybe this isn't quite as, you know, up to date either. 1 in 5 women responded yes when screened for military sexual trauma.
At the Portland VA, it's more like 1 out of 3.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, those are staggering statistics in of itself.
They are.
And so that's a lot to deal with it. So I'm just wondering, you know, how, you know, you have worked with women who have gone through all of this in your organization.
We have some very dedicated trauma therapists who know a lot about sexual assault. And so they work with women and with men who have been sexually assaulted in the military, about 1 out of 100 men. Are victimized in this way while they serve as well. So it's a huge population of people that need services. And women who are sexually assaulted in the military currently are becoming homeless a lot faster than our male veterans. So it's a huge issue. And I'm really proud of the work that the Well Arts has done to do this.
So this project is bringing some of that to life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how did you work with, how did Returning Veterans Project work with Well Arts in this whole production?
Yeah, well, we just really supported. We did a little bit of grant writing, and we helped to find some veterans willing to participate. That was the challenge, to find women ready to come forward and tell their stories. So I am honored to be a part of it. We are, Returning Veterans Project is, and I am so proud of the 5 women that were able to tell their stories.
And one
way.
Of the 5 women is with us
here,
and that's
she
Patty.
Is. And good morning.
And so how did you get involved with Breaking Rank?
Well, I have known about Returning Veterans Project, and I believe I saw it very randomly on a Facebook page, a posting that was seeking women veterans for this project, and I felt it was time that I was ready to be involved in something so unique and so telling in a way that I don't think it's ever been done before.
Well, I want to talk to you more and also perhaps have you read a little bit of what you've written. You're listening to Stage and Studio. My guests are writer Patty Jay, who you just heard, and Belle Landau, Executive Director of Returning Veterans Project, and Jessica Dart, Facilitator and Director of Well Arts Production of Breaking Rank. And their production runs February 17th through March 5th, Wednesdays and Sunday at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday at 2 p.m. Is that Wednesday through Sunday?
No.
Okay, so Wednesday. Okay.
Yep.
We got it. Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7:30, and Saturday at 2 p.m. at Milagro Theater. And you can find out more about that at wellarts.org. And I also have all this info at stageandstudio.org. Patty, what are some of the experiences you wrote about for Breaking Rank?
Really, it's a kind of a tapestry of being raised by a World War II Marine dad who would actually turn 100 this year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting. So it was being raised, I actually had learned what a squad leader was or a drill instructor as a very young woman, and then progresses to my own choice to join the military as a sort of goal or kind of a form of direction for my life, to give my life some direction. And then my experiences, you know, through that and learning that perhaps it wasn't the best choice for me, and discovering in the time of 1979 to 1986 what it was like to be a female in a very male-dominated culture. And so it's really just kind of a journey of from a very young woman, a young child, to a grown woman, and how that kind of created the life and the person that I am right now.
So you have a short section of what you've written. Do you want to sort of intro that for
Absolutely.
Us and maybe read it?
So this particular reading, it talks about when I chose to join the Air National Guard, the Oregon Air National Guard, really what I was hoping for and my reasonings for joining it, and really kind of what I discovered it. I thought that joining the Oregon Air National Guard would be easy work that would get me a little bit of money and a military experience without giving up my independence. It was actually too little training in areas like leadership, too little time really practicing my medic duties, and not knowing how to be a woman in a male-dominated culture. What did I know about being assertive when men teased you about your white and tight nurse's uniform? Hey, nurse! How about organizing my time and duties when I was supposed to be an example for my unit? How do I tell my first sergeant that I'm afraid to draw blood or give shots because I'm afraid I'll screw it up? I flunked my medical training and still had to perform my duties. I was miserable and dreaded going to drill every month.
Really great. And that's very personal for you. Is that the first time you've been able to reveal some of what your experiences have been on in such a public way?
Well, absolutely. And it's crazy because really until about 2 years ago, I had actually forgotten that I was in the military. I had really put it so far behind
me. You put it in a box somewhere in your mind.
It was a box that kept locked and stayed locked for many times because there was nobody to share it with.
Mm-hmm.
There were no peers. My family, my other siblings had retired. My dad was gone. So the military didn't even come into any kind of conversations. You know, it wasn't the icebreaker at the parties. You know, you didn't talk about your military. So it stayed in my past.
You didn't talk about the military perhaps like at parties because people might like inquire some things, or why didn't you talk about
it?
Well,
you know, in a state where there's no active duty base, there's no fort, there's no base, there's no community where like-minded or people that had shared the military service could come together.
So you didn't feel that it would be receptive?
Well, there was nobody that would understand what I had been through. Nobody could get, when I talk about boot camp or talk about trainings or talk about all the other issues that went on in the military, you know, it's like a deer in the headlights look.
And I can see why you'd be reticent to talk about it, you know, if you're met with that kind of response. So in this project, how has that been to sort of bring that all out? You kept it locked up and now it's out in the open.
It actually has been liberating in so many ways. You know, I have a women veterans program, Northwest Women Veterans Connection, that I've been running, bringing together women who have served in the military from all eras, generations, branches, And we have a common ground. And I think by sharing our stories, it's the only way, from in my mind, that we are able to work through, you know, the different traumas that have happened, the different kind of just feeling like as women veterans that we don't matter as much, that our experiences didn't qualify. There's no validation. And I feel by speaking out in this manner with this project, it brings honor to our service that we are proud to have served our countries. But there's a lot of work to be done in these issues.
A lot more work to do.
A lot of work.
But kudos to you for taking that step. Jessica, who are, you know, some, is Patty's story unusual with the women that you've worked with, the other writers that you've worked with?
Unusual in the fact that I still love that you forgot that you were a veteran for a little while and then remembered during a job interview and was like, oh, wait a minute. Everyone's story is definitely unique in its own way, but the common threads are this male-dominated environment and trying to succeed as being the minority in that situation. One of the stories takes place in 1975, and this writer arrived in Alaska in King Salmon, and there were 200 men there, and there was one other woman there when she arrived, and she'd only been there for a month. And so it was really breaking ground in that way. Whether or not you intended to be a pioneer, you just kind of ended up being a pioneer.
And so who are what are some of the other themes that arise from working with the other writers?
Patty mentioned some lack of training, like flunking a class and still having to do whatever it was you had to do. That was common. One of our writers was assigned to be an air traffic controller, and she hadn't had proper training.
Oh, wow.
And that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
So that the lack of training,
that's pretty huge.
Frightening.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
So she got the training. She's an excellent pilot. She's great at what she does. But it was the lack of training. It was sexual harassment.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
Was discrimination.
Yeah.
It was just not having the support that was needed. And a concern right now is that mental health support isn't there for veterans, especially for women. And concern with services that the VA provides. And there are so many things that this play wants to address. We wrote this statement as a group, actually, about all of the things that we wanted it to address. And I looked at the statement and was like, wow, this is a really big job.
It's a big job, and it's probably something you need to return to at some point to get everything in. No one production can do that, especially first of its kind, right?
Right. And when you have five different writers and you're trying to honor all of their voices but tell one story, it's a complex script to put together.
So you got some actresses to be in the show. You want to give a shout out for them?
Oh, absolutely. So we have five women and one man. Poor guy.
Oh, that's right. There is.
I know.
Garland Lyons.
I know. Token male. but he, you know, to cast a man in this was actually, we had a discussion about it because at first the writers were kind of like, oh, do we actually need that male presence? But he represents not just like bad and oppression, but also men who were supportive and thoughtful.
I mean, there
in this
are
process.
Men in these women's lives,
yes.
So, you know, for good or ill, right?
Yes. So Garland is our token male, and then we also have Cecily Overman, Andrea White, Sophia Maikouchon, and Margie Boulay, and Stephanie Cordell.
All right.
So really amazing women.
Wonderful. Wonderful cast. And Belle, what has been the most rewarding aspect for your organization from that point of view about this whole production?
I can't wait to see the production. That will be the most rewarding.
You're doing talkbacks or anything?
We are.
Tell us about a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going to have a panel about what we do, and then there'll be a panel on community resources. So, yeah. Well Arts has put together a couple of different things that we're going to be a part of.
How long is the show itself, Jessica, do you think? I know you're still working on it.
It will probably be around 2 hours with an intermission.
Okay. With the talk back too?
Talk back afterwards. Those will probably last about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So your whole afternoon
if you're really interested and want to learn more, this is like a perfect opportunity.
Absolutely.
To interact. Are a lot of women veterans coming to the show?
I hope so.
Yeah, let's encourage that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think you're a woman veteran, sorry. If you served, you are
in
a veteran.
In any kind of service, right? Yeah. Or if you've ever worked where you're the only woman on that shift, which I have done that. So yeah. That's probably, you could probably relate to some of the experiences there. Well Arts production of Breaking Rank features Margie Boulay, Stephanie Cordell, and Garland Lyons, and Sophia Mai
Kusham.
I'm learning her name. Cecily Overman and Andrea White. And the show runs February 17th through March 5th, Wednesday and Sunday at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday at 2 p.m. at Milagro Theater, located at 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. You can get tickets at boxofficetickets.com. And for more info, call the Well Arts office at 503-459-4500, 459-4500, or visit wellarts.org. You can also get all that info at stageandstudio.org, where I have the podcast as well later this afternoon, as well as some photos. So check it out. I guess in the final final word, Patty, what do you hope audiences will understand the most?
Well, I hope that audiences will take this as a launching pad to really get to know their community, their military community, and really seek out veterans that are could be right next door, next door, and really then
right
start
next to your desk.
Exactly. And right, I truly believe that the military and civilian populations need to love each other and to be together and to learn from each other. It's the only way that we get better as a community, when we are aware and to how to grow together.
Thank you for sharing everything that you've shared today. And Belle, I want to give a shout out for your organization's website, returningveterans.org, if more people want to find out.
Great, thank you.
About what you're doing and maybe even volunteer.
That'd
right?
be great.
I have like 30 seconds, but Jessica, in the time remaining, you were at FAME and now you're launching into your independent career here with us. What is there anything else coming up in your future you want to give a shout out for?
I am working with Oregon Children's Theater. Matt Zarepsky is writing a play called Chrysalis for the Young Professionals.
Oh, wonderful.
And writing and directing, and so I'm serving as dramaturg.
Yay.
And that's been a really great experience.
Well, it's good to see you.
Yeah,
it's
you
good
too.
To have
Thanks
you
for
here.
Having us.
Jessica Dart, Belle Landau, writer Patty J. Thank you for visiting today and have a great show.
Thank you very much. We hope to
Thank
see you.
You
there.
Definitely. Definitely. Next up, we have Luann Moldovan of Signet Productions to talk about The Setup, a play in verse about a boxer. Now, here's an actor and co-producer, David Myers, who's reading from the poem, who's reading from the play, and it's a poem. So let's hear it.
Pansy had the stuff, but his skin was brown, and he never got a chance at the middleweight crown. Mean as a panther, crafty as a fox, he could hit like a mule, and he knew how to box. A dark-skinned jinx, with eyes like a lynx, a heart like a lion, and a face like the Sphinx, battered, flat, massive, grim, always impassive. He was suppler build, graceful, trim, heavy above, with legs slim, compact, neat, light as a cat on his feet. His neck was solid, his arms were long, his bones were heavy, and his hands were strong, and whenever he moved, you could see the lithe muscles under his skin writhe. He was slick, quick. Each movement was like a trick inside the ropes. He moved the way a tiger does when it stalks. He got you nervous. You never knew just what in the hell he was going to do. But he knew all about you. Lead with your left, psh, you hit thin air. Throw in your right, his shoulders there. Always an elbow, a wrist. A mitt, he knew what was coming before you hit. He slipped what he couldn't block. His blows were timed like a clock. He'd warm up slow. He'd let you go. For maybe a couple. Then he'd start. One left, one right. And you'd wonder who told you you could fight. Clinch. Try and do it. It was all over before you knew it. He'd carve you up like a leg of mutton and drop you flat with a sock on the button. You could fight. He fought all comers. He reached his prime. And he stayed there waiting, marking time. Now was his chance for the title or never. Each month was vital. When you get that far, you either click or you hit the skids and you go down quick. His managers sweated. They did what they could. They schemed, they wheedled. But it did no good. The months slid by. The title hung high. No pansies need apply.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. With me on the phone is Luann Moldovan of Signet Productions. Hello, Luann. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Dimae.
Hey, yeah, we just heard David Myers read in rhyming couplets, and it's you're directing and producing The Setup by J.M. March. Tell us more about, I guess, what this play is about. I mean, I know you produced The Wild Party, which is the Jazz Age, a few years back, and you adapted The Setup to perform at Shaking the Trees Theater Space. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's not a play. Neither The Wild Party nor The Setup were plays. They were written as narrative verse by this genius author back in the 20s. And because Signet is a literary-based theater company, when I read The Wild Party, I was completely smitten with how easily it would take to the stage, and it did. And in the different versions that I had, one of the books had two volume, or one volume had two different pieces in it, and the other was The Setup. So I realized, my goodness, he wrote two of these, both in the late 20s. And I just felt the same way. It's written, although in these rhyming couplets, as you can hear, it's, well, you didn't get to hear everything.
Well, there's a lot of action in it, and it really does read like a play, though. I mean, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. There are about 50 characters played by 8 actors, and it's all in the vernacular of the Lower East Side, 1920s, Jazz Age, New York City. So there's dialogue already written in it, and I don't lose a word of what's written. The actors speak every word that's written.
Well, it's described as a tale of savagery in the boxing ring. So I guess what drew you to it was that it was also the same author as The Wild Party. But what about this specific tale that made you want to adapt it?
It is so timely still to this day, Dimae, even though it was written back then. It's a story that still speaks to us because there's racial inequity, which is still an issue today in the land of the free, because a working man can still not be rewarded the fruits of his labor at the end of the day, because in the world of LOL and WTF, there's still a place for soaring poetry. There's no video in The Setup. We use jazz. There's no texting. We use verse. There are no cell phones or computers or podcasts. We just lay our hearts on the stage for everybody to see. And it's an important story because it's still a living story. And maybe one of the surface aspects of Pansy's story has changed, but everything under the veneer we recognize as the heartbeat of our culture even today. Greed is still a driving force. Hatred is still something we see in the headlines of websites and newspapers. The feeling of isolation that Pansy feels, cut off from the world. No one is there to get his back, is, you know, even today, our system, there is such controversy and contention, and all of this is what's stacked against Pansy and is his struggle. So the whole world is against him, and in this sense, it's contextualized in this boxing match.
Well, you know, you're presenting this with music and movement, and you also have Bobby Bermeja playing the boxer.
Yeah.
And tell us how the movement works into this.
I knew from the beginning I did not want fake boxing on stage for many reasons.
Yeah.
And Kristen Munn is a phenomenal young fight choreographer in town, and I've seen her work, and I always know it's her work when I see it. She has such a signature sensibility. So we spoke. I mean, this has been in the works. David Myers and I have been talking about this for the last couple of years. And I met with her over a year ago and told her about it and said, I want to develop our own physical language for this. And she really resonated to it. And so we've been collaborating on that to replicate something that has dynamism and vitality and that kind of fierceness and ferociousness that takes place in a boxing match.
Well, that sounds good. I want to get this info before we run out of time. Signet Productions presents The Setup, a tale of savagery and betrayal in verse, music, and movement. And showtimes are February 12th through March 5th at Shaking the Tree Theater. That's located at 823 Southeast Grant Street in Portland. And shows are 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 2 p.m. Sunday. And for tickets, go to brownpapertickets.com. So, Luann, we're running out of time, but thank you for joining us, Luann Moldovan of Signet Productions and The Setup. And thanks for talking to us, and have a great show.
Dime, thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for your
support. You take care. Thank you. That's it for Station Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. And I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as on the podcast on iTunes. Please subscribe. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @StageNStudio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going out with more music by Sydney Stevens from her CD, Seasons, and she has it at cdbaby.com.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Youth Summit, taking place February 12th and February 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club in Portland. February 12th will feature a workshop called Healing Ourselves to Raise Our Future and a performance by spoken word artist S. Renee Mitchell. February 13th will feature workshops on topics ranging from becoming an MC to healthy living to information on going to Africa. That evening, the summit will close with a youth talent showcase. Again, that's the Portland Youth Summit, February 12th and 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at cabo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Help us celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the Confessional Radio Show with Contessa de la Luna. We have performances by Contessa de la Luna herself, Remy Fasolatido, Mike Crenshaw, and many more. We have plenty of audience participation, including human shadow puppet theater, animal impersonation contests, and prizes. And don't miss our David Bowie Kazoo tribute. All that and more, Thursday, February 11th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Tickets are $10 for an entire night of music, mayhem, laughs, and surprises. All proceeds benefit Cabo Community Radio. Tickets available now in advance at brownpapertickets.com or at the door. Join us Thursday, February 11th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. See you there.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street 3rd Annual Mardi Gras Festival, Tuesday, February.